Good. How many know what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about Jesus. Oh, that's deep, huh? We're going to talk about love. Somebody say we're going to talk about love. So let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And let's start with verse 5. How many know our commandment is to love? Say, our commandment is to love. And we're gonna pick up a little bit where we left off last week, but I want to do just a little quick review to catch us up. The Bible says, now hope does not disappoint because there's a reason why. Somebody say, well, you know what? You better not get your hopes up. Don't listen to those people who say don't get your hopes up. How many of you can listen to people and they talk some crazy stuff? Amen. How many know you got to be careful who you listen to? You know what? Protect your heart with all diligence. For out of that flow the issues of life. You know what that means? It means how much do you want to accomplish in your life? How much you want to build? Do you want to get to the place where you get to heaven and God says, man, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know what? I called you. Listen, every single person, you're called to do great things. You're called to have great families. You're called to have great grandkids. You're called to accomplish much. But we've got to protect our heart with all diligence. And we protect our heart by protecting what goes in our ears, because our ears are connected to our mind and our mind is connected to our heart. And we're very, very careful, not only what goes into our ears, but what we say. This is absolutely critical, and what we watch. So somebody says, well, you know what? You shouldn't get your hopes up. No, you, I'm smiling, right? You shouldn't be talking. You don't know what you're saying. Amen. Amen. Did anybody know anybody who doesn't know what they're talking about? Okay. Are you sitting next to them? No, don't raise your hand. Okay, that's okay. But here's what I'm saying. We've all done that. We've all said crazy, silly things, but we've got to be careful that we don't listen to what we think is good, that the Word of God is our final authority. The Bible says that hope does not disappoint. So let me tell you what that means. This is deep. Are you ready? It means hope doesn't disappoint. That's what it means. We don't have to explain. We don't have to try to, you know what, we don't have to try to defend God. God's word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Hope does not be disappointed. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into your hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. There's this love that is being poured out by the Holy Spirit into what? Look at it. Into what? Us, but into where specifically? It's been poured out to your heart. Well, Pastor, I can't forgive that person. I can't. No, 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 no. You say what God says about you. Amen? No, no, you can. You can walk in love, and let me tell you why you can walk in love. Because the love of God is because God is pouring his love into your heart. Man, you just, listen, you have the opportunity to walk in love all the time. Here's why. Because the Holy Spirit is just pouring love into your heart. And if you will start tapping into what the Holy Spirit is doing in you, then you're going to start to be less angry, less bitter, less, well, yeah, but they did. No. You're going to be so quick to go, yeah, they did that to me, but they're probably just having a bad day. Amen. How many ever had a bad day? Raise your hand if you had a bad day. Okay. You all had a bad day, amen? Raise your hand if you acted sometimes like you shouldn't have acted. Raise your hand if that. Get your hands up. Come on. We've all acted that way. So, you know, but what's happening is when you start recognizing the love of God that's being poured out into your heart, then you'll start to say, they're probably just having a bad day. It's okay. And let me tell you what, that's reality. That's really happening. So, foundational, but how many know this is important to remember this? This, Romans 5:5, it's easy to remember. How many know 5:5 is easy to remember? You know what I mean? Right? Romans 5:5, easy to remember. Just that is such a jugular verse in the New Testament for you to start walking in the quality of life that you should walk in. Look at your neighbor, say, the more you love, the better your life is going to be. I'm going to tell you, the more you love, the better your life is going to be. Okay, this is all review, just real quick. But Mark 12:28, look what Mark 12:28 says. When the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked them, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, is one God. Listen what he says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With your totality of who you are, you ought to love God. This is the first commandment. But watch this. And you shall love... and the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Watch this. Amen. There is no other commandment greater than these. Amen. You want to know what to do? The two most important things, love God completely, totally, holy, and then love other people like you love yourself. These are not minor things. These are major things. These are the major. This is the name of the game. This is who we are as Christians. And before you listen to people who tell you, even some Christian people, well, yeah, I know that God, that's what God said, but when you hear somebody say, I know that God said that, but you know what? Just go, I can't hear you. I hear my mom calling me, and just start to run away, okay? My mom's calling me. I gotta go. No, let God be true and every man a liar. These are what's important. These are what's important. And if you're doing these two, how many know if you're walking in love, you ain't going to be checking out that chick? No. You ain't going to do that. It ain't going to happen. See, it's when we stop walking in love with other people and with God, that's when we start to get off. You follow these two, you won't be following them all. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something? Amen. Okay. And then we saw this last week, but I'll show it to you again. Just taking where we left off. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Okay. That's what we hear a lot. You know what I mean? Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, we're different. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's different. Amen. And we're so quick to listen to those who are saying, yeah, but you really can't. Yeah, and even sometimes ourselves, as we give ourselves, the Bible says, give no place to Satan. How many know you can listen to the wrong thing sometimes? Oh, yeah. You can justify. You can say, oh, that's okay. That's why, you know. No, it's not okay. We're different. And our calling is different. You say, yeah, but that's hard. Well, here's what the Bible says. Let the weak say I'm strong. Amen? It's so weird to me why, you know, start listening to how Christians talk. How many know the Bible says that we ought to abide in Christ? How many know that passage says that? You know what the Bible also says in the passage? It also says this, that his words ought to abide in us. Amen? See, we need to say what God says. What does God say about you? Here's what he says. With me, all things are possible. Amen? But then we'll say, oh, yeah, but it's hard to forgive. It's hard to... No, let me tell you what's hard. You know what? I think it's ridiculous that Christians are, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard to be a Christian. No, let me tell you what it's hard to be. It's hard to not be a Christian. Amen? How many remember when you used to smoke dope? Amen? How many remember when you used to get drunk? Amen? How many remember when you're like, ooh, ooh, you know what? When your girlfriend called you and she said, ooh, I don't know what's going on. Hello, somebody. See, you know what? We forget. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what Jesus said. You know what? I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to be very accurate to stop, you know what, looking back. You know, we're too busy, you know what, singing, I forget the name of the band. You know what? AC/DC, yeah, whatever. You know what? We're too busy looking back and looking at those old days and thinking those were the good days. No, those weren't the good days. Those were the days where we weren't sure what was going on. Because Satan is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't look back. Don't say good is bad and bad is good. Say God is good. And his ways are good. You know, the Bible says that his ways are perfect. I'm not saying that the Bible doesn't say that that we are unusual. That most of the crowd is going, if you're swimming upstream, most of the crowd, the Bible's clear, is coming against you, is coming downstream. But have the foresight to recognize all those people that are going downstream. What does the Bible say? What does it say? Where are they going? Towards where? Destruction. Somebody say destruction. You know what? I'm smiling. Because I'm not going. You know, if they're all going to the Mojave Desert and I'm going to Disneyland, what do I care that most of them are going the wrong way? Amen? I'm like, praise God, I got my Mickey ears. I'm happy I'm going to Disneyland. Amen. I don't care that they're all going the wrong way. Amen. And they start convincing you that, oh, that's a hard life. You know, it's not a hard life. Amen. Amen. How many know this good preaching? Because we get talked into, we get deceived, we get confused. Satan turns a lie to us and go, ooh la la, wouldn't you like to smoke another joint? No. Amen. I've smoked enough joints in my life. I've drank enough, you know what, Jack Daniels in my life. I've slept around enough. I've had enough of that stuff. I've gossiped enough. Ooh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. All of a sudden we got quiet in here. Amen. No. I had enough of that. You know what? I'm doing it the way Jesus said to do it. Now watch this before you get confused and think this is difficult. Remember Romans what? 5:5. You got it. The love of God is being poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. No, let me tell you what it's hard to do. It's hard to continue to be embittered towards people who hate you. They tick you off and they make you mad and you're so frustrated. Who wants to live a life like that? Why don't you just pray for these people? Amen. You ever, have you ever done that? Have you ever specifically prayed for someone that just stabbed you? Has anybody ever stabbed you in the back? I'm not asking, but you know what? You start praying for them. Sometimes you're like, Jesus, and thank God, bless them. And some of you, can I say something prophetic over you? Can I say something prophetic over you? How many know the preaching should be prophetic? Some of you, you won't even go there. You won't even go there. And what God is saying to you is, go there. You know, I love that clip in Fireproof. And they buy, and in this clip he says, you know what? You need to not follow your heart. You need to lead your heart. We get so into, oh, how do I feel? How does that make me feel? How do I feel about how it feels to make me feel that feeling? Who cares how you feel? How about just being obedient to what God says? Amen. How about making a decision that God is smarter than you, that you're going to start praying? Because let me tell you what will happen. If you start praying for your enemies, you know what? You won't get, and I know the flesh is cantankersome sometimes, but listen, if you would just tell your flesh what to do. Amen. Sometimes if you just tell your flesh what to do, instead of allowing, here's what the Bible says. That in Romans it says, to whom you give yourself to, you become enslaved to. How many know that is a great scripture or that is an awful scripture? But how many know that can be a great scripture? Because you can give yourself to righteousness and have a life of peace and joy. So listen, but it takes your decision making that you are just going to do what Jesus says. Say, I am a follower of Christ. How many know that doesn't mean that Jesus is walking that way and you're walking behind him? I'm following him. That's not what he's talking about. It's talking about you're following his ways. You're acting like he acts. That's what a follower of Christ is. How many would say, I'm a follower of Christ? Okay, then here's what you need to do. You need to pray for these people. And here's what I promised you. And I've done it before. I've done it wrong and I've done it right. But let me tell you what happens when you do it right. And so for some of you, can I be real with some of you? For some of you, It's people, you know, where do people who really tick you off live? Let me tell you where people really tick me off in. They live at 1636 Rolling Greens Way. You know where that is? That's my house. That's where I live. All I'm saying to you is, how in the world, one of the best places to show that you're really a Christian is to walk it out in your house. Amen? And to make a decision that you, as they are irritating you and ticking you off and thinking that they, you know what, you know what motivates them. Can I tell you first, understand, we're going to look at it in a minute. Love puffeth up. The Bible says this, you don't know anything. I'll show you that to you in a minute. We all go, I know what your heart was. I know why you did that. Shutteth thou uppeth. You really don't know. And that's pride, that you think you know what your spouse is going on. You think you know what the neighbors are. You don't know anything. And do me a favor, give them the benefit of the doubt anyway. Amen. Let's say they're wrong. You're not the judge. Who are you to judge, the Bible says? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You need to not do that. We need to not do that. We need to be quick to forgive. We need to pray for these people. You know what? And what will happen is, I'm getting to that point. What will happen is when you start praying for them, you're just going to, in about 30 seconds, you're going to get tender for them. And in about 60 seconds, the Holy Spirit is going to show you some of the stuff that you did to work this thing up.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And by the time you get done with this prayer, you know what? A lot of this prayer, you're going to be praying, you're going to be asking God to forgive you for your wrong attitude. Oh, this is good. Amen. Amen. But you can't ever get there if you're so convinced. You just, you know what? You just put your hand out and tell you what? I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. And God says, you are what? Because you are not following me right now. Amen. How many are still glad you came tonight? Amen. Let's go to John. Hey, guys in the back, I need some help up here again. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's start with verse 15. John chapter 14, start with verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Wow, that's strong, is it not? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now look at verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that you might abide, that he might abide with you forever. Now let's put these two passages together and you'll understand what he's saying. How many recognize you're going to need some help to love? How many recognize you're going to need some help to love those, to pray for people who, you know what, are crazy against you? You're going to need to do that supernaturally. So Jesus says this. First he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, which is a radical thing to say. Because God says this. Your love is shown by not just what you say, but what you do. Amen? That is good. And how many know a lot of times in this feel-good society, we just think, oh, I was going to send you a card. I was going to send you a card. And that person never got that card. Amen? I don't say this, I just say this to be a testimony to you. I write someone in prison every single week. Here's what I do. My notes for Sunday. How many know, man, a letter to somebody in prison is a big deal? And I need to stay on my purpose. You know what I mean? How many know we need to stay on my purpose? It's not my purpose to go to jails and preach. No, no, no. My purpose is to build this church and in this community. But I can write a letter. And so every week, JC writes my notes because they're already done. I have her print my notes. And she prints just a blank letter with Hope Community letterhead. And I write a friend in jail. And every week, he gets an encouraging letter from me, and he gets the notes of the preaching that you listen to Sunday. Wow. Amen. Amen. Amen? And that encourages him. Well, how many know, for months, I thought, man, it would be good that I would write this guy a letter. And all those months I was thinking about it, you know how many letters he got? None. Amen? He got one week, he got none. Then another week, he got none. Then another week, he got none. Then another week, he got none. And how many know this can just keep on going and going and going? And we have all these things that we want to do and all these good things that we want to do and all these wonderful things that we want to do. And God says, no, 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 no. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is going to help you to do what you should do. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. How many believe God can speak to people? Just read your Bible. He speaks to people all the time. That's why he's giving you the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead you and guide you and show you what's going on. So those people say, you know what, but it's so hard. It's so hard to be a follower of Christ. It's so hard to do what God has commanded us to do. Well, you can look at it any way you want. And if you keep on saying, you know what, if you keep on reckoning, well, I can't. First of all, how dare you say that? The Bible says you can do all things through Christ's strength and joy. I already quoted that. But there's hundreds of other scriptures where God says, no, let me tell you what. With God, all things are possible. See, with God, all things are possible. The Holy Spirit has been given, has been poured out into your heart. Then Jesus says this, I will pray. How in the world? He says, here's the commandment, that you would follow my commandments. That's how you're going to show that you're going to love me. But wait a minute. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another helper. How many know who the other helper was? Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is, how many know the Holy Spirit is theological, but you guys got this. How many know the Holy Spirit is God? And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so you thinking, oh, I can't. Stop saying you can't. You and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With God, you have the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says this, here, I want you to not just talk about how much you love me. I want you to start showing you how much you love me. I want you to start doing what I have commanded you to do. And stop arguing with me that you can't when I've said you can. And not only have I told you you can, but I sent the Holy Spirit in your hearts. It's being poured out that you can do this thing. Are you catching this? John chapter 15, verse 12. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Say, listen, I want you to catch the commandment of love. And I want you to catch, not only God is saying, I need you to love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. I need you to love others as yourself. But let me tell you that the height of the love that I'm commanding you. Are you catching this? This God's commandment. We want to make an excuse. We want to say, oh, no, but the Bible says, guys, I need to know what time it is. The Bible says, give no place to the enemy. Amen? You know what that means? It means that there is this, I believe, that there is this place that we just, I preached a sermon once, and it was called Running to the Middle. And I talked about the reality that Christians have of just giving ourselves excuse. This run to mediocrity. This run to, well, you know, no. There's a place that God says, and I've just showed you the passage where God says this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to love, but let me tell you how I want you to love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And before, because how many know we're so used to doing this? We're so perfect. Oh, but you know, but nobody's perfect. You know, God is, you know, and there's all, and listen, and I understand God's working. I understand sanctification. I get it. I understand that we are in the process of looking more and more like Jesus. But I also understand this, that there's this tendency that we have to just accept mediocrity. That we have a tendency sometimes not to walk in love to the degree that we should, and listen to me, most important, and that we can. How do we do that? Here's how we do it. We say, no. Jesus says this. Jesus says, let me show you his commandment. And it's so interesting because how many know God? God is so awesome. How many know God has crazy faith in you? He just has total faith in you. He believes in you. He thinks you're awesome. He thinks you got this. I mean, think about it. Who's given? I mean, think about this for a minute. Are you kidding me? Who's responsible to build the kingdom in Pico Rivera? Who's responsible to that? Let me tell you who's responsible. You know what? Brian is. I was like, Brian, are you kidding? What is God thinking? Tony, is God a joker? Is he serious?
No. Man.
How are you supposed to do that? Arlene, really? Peter, are you serious? Angel, what?
Come on, Richard.
I mean, I could go on. Richard, oh no. See, that's how we look at it. But God doesn't look at it that way. God is able to see the greatness in you. Amen. You look at the Old Testament, you look at Moses, and you look at Abraham, and you look at all these mighty men. You look at Peter. Peter, are you kidding me? Can I tell you what? That's what God does. The Bible says, you know what? He doesn't use very many wise people. Amen. You know, how many don't feel very smart? God says, oh, you're in a great position. Amen. Is that not right? You know, you look at, and whoever you pick, I don't know who your favorite preachers are. But you know what? Have you ever noticed, I'm not here to bag on anybody, but have you ever noticed some of the preachers on TV are complete dorky people? I didn't mention any names. I'm just saying. Amen. Amen. Oh, I don't want to say amen to that. No. Listen. They're mighty men and women of God that I honor and I give great respect. I just recognize. You know, I always liked, remember growing up and they had that, what was that Christmas coming up? Remember they had the Christmas special and all these different Christmas things? Do you remember that that island that the island of misfit toys? Amen. You know what? We named our church Hope Community Church, but I almost named it the Island of Misfit Toys. Amen. Hello, can somebody raise their hand and say, Pastor, that would be accurate, okay? That would be accurate. And I'm not being negative. I'm just saying, understand. You don't feel adequate. God says, you're in a great position. Here's why. Because it's the humility that I'm looking for. Because let me tell you what's so strong about humility. Humility, I like what John Maxwell said. John Maxwell said, if you can accomplish the vision that God's given you by yourself, your vision is way too small. You know, when God spoke to me and said, you know what, you need to make a bigger sanctuary that can hold almost twice as many people as a North Sanctuary. You need to do that. I thought, are you kidding me? I remember when we talked about making Hope Park outside. And that whole project was just $10,000. And I thought, $10,000? Where are we going to get $10,000? I remember your daughter used to go up there, and we had this thermometer, and it was at $1,600. And she said, we got this. And I hate to confess this. I thought, unbelievable. We're never going to get to that $10,000. That's bad. I hate to say that. You're a mighty man of God. Yeah, Pastor, you're a visionary, aren't you? I was like, man, we're never going to get there. But she spoke, and here's what she said. She said, you know what? We got this. And then from that point in time, we raised that $10,000. It was about $12,000 by the time we finished. We raised that $12,000, and we did, and it was pretty simple. You know what I mean? How many blessed by Hope Park still? All we did was just do some concrete. We put some benches up. We did the lighting. That's all it was. I mean, you know, this stuff is not cheap. But it was a great improvement. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, you know what, you need to take off this roof, and you need to do this whole thing. And we went down and we got the design, and they said, you're going to increase the seating. You know what, almost double the seating in the North Sanctuary. You know what, and it's going to cost you $120,000. And I thought, $120,000, where are we going to get that money? But I had learned something from that $12,000 that we raised. I learned with God all things are possible. You know what I learned? I learned to stop. Here, let me tell you another story. I had this vision, and there was a conference up in Sacramento. And the conference was, I forget exactly the price. I think the conference just to go was $100. And then we had to, you know what, and then most people had to get off, you know, 2 days, and then it was Friday and Saturday, so 3 days, because we're going to leave on a Thursday or Wednesday, I forget, but we had to take a couple days off, and we were first going to fly up there, hotel, and the thing. It was going to cost, by the time we all got done, I figured it was going to cost about $600. And there was part of me that wanted to invite people to go. But here's what I thought. I thought, you know what, who in the world is going to pay $600 to go to this conference? But I knew in my heart that there was people who needed to go. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said this. How many believe God speaks to people? How many of God will slap you around sometimes? And then hug you all at the same time. Oh, is he hugging me or slapping me? No, he's doing both. Amen. But I remember he said, and I was like, God, nobody's gonna want to do that. And he said, how come you believe that over those people? You're willing to do that, aren't you? You think you're better than them? You think you want more God than they want God? And that Wednesday, I repented. And here's what I said. I said, Tamara and I are going to Sacramento to a conference. And I don't know exactly how much it's going to cost me yet, because I still haven't worked out all those details. But it's going to cost you at least $500. And you're going to have to take 2 days and maybe 3 days off work. And if you want to go with me, I'm going. I'm going to go with you, or I'm going to go without you. But I would rather you go. You know, that night, I had three people sign up. That night, I had three people sign up. And by the time we left, we decided not to fly. We decided to drive, which was a lot funner. It was an awesome time. By the time we left, you know what, right out of this parking lot with two 15-passenger vans filled with people. We took 30 people. See, what we have a tendency, and listen, let me go back to what I'm talking about. Well, we have a tendency to walk in love. We think, you know what? No, there's no way we can love people the way Jesus Christ did. I mean, we read some things sometimes and we think, I can't do that. Well, can I tell you who you're arguing with? You're arguing with Jesus. You know why Jesus commands you to do that? You know why he commands you to do that? Here's why. Because he thinks you can. How many know? This is deep. This is theologically deep. How many know Jesus is not crazy? Come on, that took a lot of faith. How many know, believe Jesus is not? Listen, he believes in you. He trusts in you. He's willing to give you commandments that seem impossible for you to obtain. And they would be impossible for you to obtain, yes, except that he poured the Holy Spirit out in your heart.
Amen.
You can walk in love with people that you think you can't. You can forgive people that you've never forgiven. You can trust people that you've never trusted. You can be free. You can forgive your ex. You can forgive children that have stabbed you in the back. You can forgive other Christians. You know how many Christians, you know what, don't go to church anymore because they've been burnt in the church? Well, they shouldn't act that way. Well, hello, who do you think you got in the church? You got a bunch of people who are working on their life, amen? You know, if you're looking for a perfect church, you haven't found it, amen? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Why? Because when you walked in, you ruined it. Is that not right? Well, can I tell you something? This is the truth. Listen, it was ruined already before you came in. You know why? Because I was here. No, I'm serious. But you can do it. And the commandment that God has commanded you to isn't some elementary third grade, second grade, kindergarten level of love. It's a high level of love. Can I share one more thing with you and I'll stop? Be careful. You know what? Listen, how you think, that's what David said, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Jesus said, you know, one of the things we need to do is read the Bible every day, particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, because we need to start changing. How are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind. See, your heart gets saved. I mean, your spirit gets saved and you're saved, but your thinking is still wrong. We've got to renew our mind according to what God says about us. So you need to listen to what God says. You know what? Discoverhope.us. I told you, why do you think we have this here? We have this here because I want you to see it over and over and over again. I want you to go to the website. I want you to pull down the menu, and I want you to start listening to series that I've preached and start listening to it and hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word. Let me tell you about this church. At this church, we're going to encourage you. We're going to lift you up. We're going to tell you the truth. We're not going to say, oh, everything's okay. You can keep on smoking. You know, after all, the governor said you can smoke marijuana. Keep on, you know, oh, that's, you know. No. God has a higher calling for us. Amen. Your friend said you can keep on sleeping around. No. God has a higher calling. We're not going to not say what God says, but we are going to build you up. Amen. We're going to say you can do it. And you know why we're going to say we're going to do it? Because that's what God says. And you know what I'm going to say over you today? There's a higher place of walking in love. That we're not going to just walk in love. We're going to walk in love the way Jesus walked in love towards us. Amen? How many receive that tonight? How many say, you know what? How many know there's a higher place? Raise your hand if you say, there's a higher place. Raise your hand if you're willing to go to that place. Raise your hand tonight. Say, I'm willing to go. I want to go. I want to get there. I want to, in the midst of people saying I can't, I say I can because God's commanded me to do this. And can I tell you who's gonna be the best for it? You are. Because all that bitterness is going to go away. People are going to look at you and say, unbelievable. I don't know why they're so chill. You know, say, I'll tell you why. Because I got nobody to be upset at. I've forgiven everybody in my life. Because Jesus has forgiven me. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that your word, Father, will help change our life. I pray that this word, Father, I thank you for the word that's sharper than a two-edged sword. I thank that it has cut some junk out of us. How many would, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, how many would raise their hand and say, there's some junk that got cut out tonight? Oh, yeah. Father, you see the hands that are up. We thank you for your word. God, help us to walk out what we've learned tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.